the state of Minnesota takes pride in its education system, and rightfully so. According to a 2018 census from the Minnesota Department of Education, 93.4% of Minnesota residents have received a high school diploma or higher, ranking third in the nation. But when more and more students of color are being suspended, expelled, and forced out of schools, where do they go? Unfortunately, many of these students are being funneled through what is called the school-to-prison pipeline. The pipeline, through biases and prejudices, targets students of color and forces them out of school. During my research, I found this jarring statistic. Nationwide, just 18% of students are Black, but they account for 46% of those suspended on more than one occasion. Since we know these students are spending less time in school than their counterparts, the next statistic should not come as a surprise. The four-year graduation rate for Black students in Minnesota in 2018 was only 67%, compared to a state average of 83%. Contrarily, 88% of white students graduated in 4 years. Letitia Basford is an education professor at Hamline University, and she's done extensive work researching the school-to-prison pipeline.
So I'm a professor here at Hamline University. My research area is around the school-to-prison pipeline and what schools can do to reverse the trends of the pipeline, recover kids that have been in the pipeline, and prevent kids from going into the pipeline.
So can you give me a brief definition of exactly what the pipeline is, kind of break it down for someone who's maybe never heard of it before?
The school-to-prison pipeline is a metaphor for funneling kids out of schools and directly into prison contexts. So for example, chronic suspension and expulsion and sending kids out in constant discipline leads to kids embodying this identity that they're bad and that they're destined to be bad members of society. It kicks them out of school where they are not being mentored or guided. They're not learning what their peers are in school. They've got a lot of free time with which to get involved in deviant behavior, which also funnels and leads into prisons and juvenile detention centers. I'll give you the example of Jordan, who was suspended more than 35 times in a 3-year window and expelled. He was expelled from a few schools in there too. He came to embrace an identity at seventh grade that he was bad.
And oftentimes those suspensions aren't just for one day, they're week long, longer than that. Does the school to prison pipeline mainly target Black students, or does it affect all students of color?
It does affect all students of color, and it affects some white students as well, but it is absolutely overwhelmingly impacting African-American male students. We have the worst achievement gap or opportunity gap in the country, and we have an extraordinary overrepresentation of Black and brown youth in expulsions and suspension rates. We have a teaching force that is currently majority white and female.
Do you think it's more so administrators or teachers or a combination of both that are not necessarily causing the problem but attributing to it?
Both. When you look at zero tolerance policies, those are a structural issue that administrators mandate and teachers follow. You look at the classroom behavior that causes the teacher to send the kid out of the classroom, that's a teacher level issue. I think it's important to just keep reading and looking for films and books that share these types of examples so that we can continue to learn and be aware of what some kids are facing and just to always continue that education.
One school in particular that is working to make a change to the school-to-prison pipeline is High School for Recording Arts, a charter high school in St. Paul, Minnesota, that's geared toward teaching students who have had trouble staying in traditional schools or have connections to the prison system. The concept was born in 1996 when David T.C. Ellis started Studio 4 as a recording production facility, and he noticed youth gathering around the studio studying him instead of attending their schools. Ellis had the idea to build an educational pilot program to address the dropout crisis in his community. High School for Recording Arts was officially born in 1998 when the Minnesota Department of Education approved HSRA as an independent charter school district. I had the opportunity to speak to some students and staff members at HSRA to find out their thoughts on the school and the school-to-prison pipeline.
Well, my name is Kayla, and I'm 16, and I'm a junior at High School for Recording Arts. I like to make money. I like to read books. I like to play basketball, too.
My name is Chris, and I'm 16. And I mean, really, I come to school just to get my work done, trying to graduate, trying to go to college, be one of the first ones in my family to go to college.
I'm Angel. I'm 17, and my hobbies is making music and having an ear for music. I'm just trying to graduate so I can get my high school certificate and all that, go do better things with music and production and all that.
I've been going here since like ninth grade year, a little bit after. I started ninth grade year, actually, South High School in Minneapolis. But I mean, I kind of was falling off track. I mean, my grades wasn't really bad. It was just, I always used to talk and stuff. I was always like, I just switched here. And then, I mean, ever since I switched here, I just been focused on like getting my grades up and stuff and graduating and like do something with my life.
Been here since my freshman, and I've went to two other high schools before this one.
I've been going to HSRA since my freshman year, and I'm a junior now, so my third year.
And how many schools did you attend before coming here?
About nine.
My name is Leah. I am currently in the role of an advisor here at HSRA.
I'm Renee Swanson. I've been here for 10 years, and I came in as a licensed teaching staff and have maintained that position throughout the 10 years, but have also done many other things.
The moment I got here, it felt like home, just because I knew what my educational journey had looked like through high school. And I thought if I had an educational opportunity like this, you know, how different it would have been for me.
I feel like what we do different here is you follow your own path, do different things in life. If you like really want to achieve something, like you want to work in construction or you want to do music or you want to do video photography, you can do that.
Overall in my life, I never really seen myself even thinking like talking like I want to go to college or anything. I learned so much from coming here. I just remember thinking to myself like, what do I really want to do in my life? Do I want to rap? Do I want to go to college? What do I want to do? And like, nobody in my family really went to college or anything. So I remember thinking like, I want to go to college. We all get like an opportunity to like learn how we learn, because you know, people learn at different pace and all that, and I just feel like that's cool.
For me, what I like is that you can get way more independent help in HSRA. It's like way smaller class sizes than a normal high school.
Yeah, I feel like alternative schools is better anyways. For instance, like public high school, like, all right, the whole class doing this worksheet, and then we all moving together. Even like if I learn like a little slower than others or somebody else is behind me, the class ain't gonna, they ain't gonna wait for me. I feel like that's how most kids like falling off. Then I feel like at HSRA and like other alternative schools, if you need help or anything, like the teacher can help you and she could like still teach the class at the same time.
Yes, I get to teach science, but most importantly, I'm showing them that they're building skills, you know, in the areas of science literacy, inquiry. You know, we have all these validations that are meant to really make them reflect on their skills and like what they're taking from here that actually transfers out.
It's really a true saying of meeting a student where they're at. And sometimes we fall backwards and sometimes, you know, we fall down, we drop the hurdle, whatever it is, you know, but a kid's coming in here hungry. They're not gonna learn if they're hungry. Mm-hmm. You know, they come from a generational poverty, generational trauma, and so there's certain hurdles and certain things that we have to move through first before we even get to the process of learning and why learning is important and why earning a diploma is important. And then thinking bigger than that, saying, I deserve to have a future. I deserve to have an education. I deserve to have a career, not just a job. I deserve to be whoever I want to be.
I think for me, like by the time they do get to the classroom, they do want to learn. I mean, all students want to learn. I'm not saying that, but they are ready to learn because like Leah said, they come in and they might be hungry or you know, who knows where they slept last night or what situation they faced or what even obstacles they overcame on the light rail to get here, you know? And so by the time they actually do reconnect, you know, on a teacher-student, you know, level, they're ready, you know? So real like classroom management and stuff, doesn't seem to be an issue here, and I'm not the only like teaching staff who'll say that, because so much of that is dealt with before they even come into my biology class or whatever class I'm teaching. And so for me, it's been a whole redesign of how I bring it, because like Chris was saying in the interview, he said, you know, if I don't quite understand it in his traditional school, the class doesn't wait for him. They keep going. And so I've had to redesign how all my curriculum and everything is developed so that it is always ready for every student when they come in, wherever they're at. It was a huge challenge, and I'm always refining and trying to make it better, but there's a huge reward in that for myself, you know, as well for the students.
And I think that's really interesting because I see a lot of places the teachers have that set curriculum. And like you said, it's hard work having to meet all the students there. But if people come into it thinking one curriculum, summer's off, done by 3:30, and like that's the reason that...
No, that's a disservice to our students. And they are very brilliant, and their brilliance isn't always recognized in that type of setting.
See, me personally, I like all my teachers. Like, they let you, you know, voice your opinions and, like, your thoughts and how you feel and all types of things like that. They make sure that you're okay. Like, they don't just come to you as an angle as being your teacher. It could be like they want to be, like, a role model or, like, a mentor.
They won't just, like, give you an F or something just because you got the whole worksheet wrong. They'll go back through it with you, make sure you understand it and stuff before they just give you a bad grade.
If it's out of their reach, they'll find people to get you into where you want to reach and grow. So it's like, it's kind
of... It's all types of connections here.
Yes.
Every teacher got a different connection with a different person.
You can really just catch up with all your grades. Like if you only have 1.0 credits in the high school that you had before, you can get like 20 in half a year or something like that. And you can finish the rest throughout 3 years, or you could just get it done in two.
Like she said, like you can voice your opinion and stuff. Then it was like at South, it was like they don't ask you how you doing, like you good, like you need to ride home or anything, you safe or anything like that. Then I feel like that's not cool, because I mean, like, different students go through different things. I mean, for you not to even ask, I feel like that's not cool.
I asked them about their understanding of the school-to-prison pipeline and about HSRA's efforts to put a stop to it.
So my brother was a prime example of a student who was designed for a pipeline to prison through school system. And so I was introduced to that long before people were even really talking about it. This is a kid who in kindergarten was expelled from a private school, and then by the time he graduated at 21, had been to 27 schools, and one of the very last schools he went to prior to a juvenile incarceration was at Harrison, right? So it's a school that promoted putting them into padded rooms and locking them in. And when my mom tried to withdraw him, there was no withdrawal. There was no way to get him out unless he committed a crime. And so the crime was he spit on the principal, and then that sent him to a stint in Bar None, which I don't think is in existence anymore, but it was a facility for boys. And so that pretty much is like how it goes, right? This kid who was brilliant in the mind wasn't being challenged enough in the school system. And they didn't know how to deal with the behavior because there was tons of other things going on at home, but not to recognize, not seeing that, not recognizing it. And we see it all day long. We see kids who are coming in on probation or have been in prison, or I think we fail in the way that we see it, but it's like we're so busy in our own worlds and our own way of thinking of how things should be done that we don't become part of the solution and fix it.
A lot of students who've been here, went here, goes here, a lot of them are homeless. A lot of kids who go here on probation or have a felony or something like that, you know. Or like they don't have parents. Some people's parents have passed. Some people have parents who just, you know, don't care.
The prison system is a multi-billion dollar industry. And so they have no interest in shutting that down, right? Mm-hmm. That's an industry that they need to exist in order to thrive and make money. I think HSRA pushes against it in a way that we recognize it. This is our future. We wanna see young people who resemble who we are, whether that's black, brown, yellow, whatever. But these young people are our future, and we want them to be included in it. We want them to have a voice in it. And it's our responsibility to teach them, because somewhere they didn't get that. They didn't get that messaging that they have a voice and that it's important for them to be a part of everything that's happening around them and whatever, and for them to show up
I think here it's really based on what you go through as a person. And all your past experiences really impact you.
Like, you could come in, teacher asks you how you doing, they even like have conversations with you, like, how's it going at home, anything like that. And then like public schools, I never really had a teacher ask me like, oh, you good? Nobody really checked on me, asked how I'm doing, like, oh, am I understanding the work? And I feel like HSRA, like, more schools need to be like it. More kids would be successful and stuff, like, more kids would graduate.
It's stressful, it's taxing on you emotionally here, but the reward is so worth it, you know. And, you know, we are a credit recovery school, so it, of course we want those that have maybe been disengaged from school at some point and get them reintegrated back into school so that they can make up credit and move on beyond high school with a diploma. But 9th through 12th grade, that's what we do. We don't turn anyone away, really. It's always like, we'll take you as you come and as you are.
Because yes, we are a high school, but you know, honestly, on a tiered scale, I'd say the very first thing we are is a support network for our students. You know, we focus a lot on the advising, the social work, you know, making sure the students' needs are met before they even come to the classroom to learn, because they have so much they're bringing in.
So ultimately, while the school-to-prison pipeline remains a large issue in our society, schools like HSRA should give us hope. This is your call to action. Be aware, be compassionate, and reverse the school-to-prison pipeline before our youth don't have a chance to reverse it themselves.